So, as always, God has a purpose for the nation of Israel, but he's going to bring her through the fire. He's going to bring her through the awful times of the great tribulation. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it is a day of Jacob's trouble, but she will be saved out of it. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, God has a purpose, not to destroy Israel, but to redeem and save and preserve when the king comes, Jesus. So, back to Joel and the notes in the middle of page 2. We've got here, for example, in verse 5, what the Lord says about the drunkards of chapter 1, verse 5. The drunkards weep and howl, or you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Just like somebody going to take a cup of wine, just going to have a drink, and suddenly it's gone. That's a picture. It's totally removed from their lips. Drunkards have nothing, no wine. As in verse 5, awake, you drunkards, weep, howl, all you drinkers of wine, because the new wine is cut off from your mouth. There it is in verse 5. As I said, the locusts have reduced the land to nothing, as they always do. You've got a reference there, just under section 1, from drunkards. There's Proverbs. Now, remember when we looked at Revelation 9, these demonic locusts had a king. Abaddon, Satan. He's a god of this world. And we find here that in Proverbs 30, verse 27, I quote it here. Locusts have no king, yet they advance in ranks. Well, we've seen swarms of locusts by the million, darkens the whole sky. They're all together. It's just like when you see, well, you've seen it probably yourselves or in films, these tens of thousands of starlings that suddenly move as one flock, don't they? Amazing, isn't it? The locusts are the same. But locusts have no king, but the demons do. That's the point. Insect locusts don't. They just seem to swarm naturally like the birds do. But the demonic locusts have an organizer. They have a king, the king of demons. The future of this earth in the great tribulation is going to be hideous. The demons are going to be rampant from about the middle section on, the second half. The first half will be like a false peace. Antichrist will win the day. But the second half is when the demons are going to be working. And Joel, 800 years before Jesus came, speaking about this. So there's devastation, you see. The prophetic ones are demonic, not insects. They have a king. His name is Satan, Abaddon, the accuser, the evil one. You can see that, Revelation 9, verse 11, in your notes on page 2, just below halfway. They have over them as a king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue is the name Apollyon. Well, we know who that is, Satan. Well, we've looked at Revelation 9 already. So in other words, this physical devastation of nature. Now I'd like, if you will, please, in chapter 1, go to verse 8. Go to chapter 1, verse 8. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Now look at the notes. The total devastation. There are two inches up from the bottom, beginning a new paragraph under section 1. Total devastation is starkly described in chapter 1, verse 7, by everything being laid waste. But verse 8 says, lament like a young widow. The Hebrew word is betula, which means a young widow, hardly married, whose husband has been killed. Probably on the honeymoon. Terrible devastation and grief. Weep like that, he says to the nation, as a young widow who's just lost her husband, married a few days. That's the metaphor, that's the description of how it was then and what it will be, the day of the Lord in the future. So you can see there you've got the drunkard's lament there. We looked at that just now. Then you've got the priest's lament. We'll see that a bit later on. And the whole nation laments because of such destruction. When the book of Revelation comes to the end of chapter 18, can you, if you, it's almost impossible, you can't imagine the destruction on this land, on this earth. You can't imagine it. All the water turns to blood, you've got nothing to drink. That's a starter. Can you imagine that? A few million people on the earth have nothing to drink. It comes home, you know, when you look at all the different judgments that are there in the book of Revelation. That's only one of them. Just like in Exodus, when the Lord turned the Nile and all the lakes and rivers into blood. He's going to do it again. And it is amazing, though, we've done Revelation, but the judgments in the book of Exodus, before the release of the Hebrews, those judgments are going to be repeated in the book of Revelation as we have it recorded there. It is a judgment from the Lord. It's the day of the Lord. That's the thing. So, I say, why has all this happened? Look at the bottom of page 2. Why has all this happened? Haggai, we said Haggai was Zechariah, says that people have the wrong priorities. Haggai, that's chapter 1, we don't look at it now. And they were called upon to build the house of the Lord, put God first, and they build their own houses, build their own luxuries, looked after themselves, and God says, all right, you can sow your crops, but I'll blast it with mildew and you get nothing left. And you have your money, but it's like putting it into a bag with holes in it. You won't have anything. Because you got the priorities wrong. They did. So does humanity, generally speaking. The world at large got the priorities wrong. Self first. God made man for fellowship with him. People don't believe that. So, can it happen today in our own land? Well, think of the godless materialism in our own countries. And then look at the last two lines on the bottom of page 2. Godless materialism and humanism. Yes, and we can be seeing the first glimpses of difficult times ahead, even while the church is here. Well, serious things, isn't it? Well, let's go to chapter, to page 3 in your notes. So in chapter 1, verse 14, we go on there. Still in this chapter 1, that's okay. In chapter 1, verse 14, here's the word of the Lord coming through the prophet Joel. And he calls the people to get themselves sorted out. Sanctify a fast. Make it a holy occasion. Put everything else on one side. Meet me. That's what the Lord is saying. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Get the people together. Blow the trumpet, you see. Gather all the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. Oh boy, I wish our nation would cry unto the Lord. I wish the church would too. The church isn't crying to the Lord for mercy. Well, that's what the prophet is saying. And verse 15 says, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Destruction from the Almighty shall come. What good did that? Even in Isaiah, the Lord says, I hate you. You're fasting, you're hypocrites. You're not genuine with it. That's in Isaiah in the later chapters. So, alas for the day of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 15. The day of the Lord is at hand, that's the immediate future and the distant future. Further destruction comes. So, that's where we have all the problems of the land there. Look down to verse 16, the meat cut off from our eyes. No animals for eating. 17, the seeds rotten under the clods, garners laid waste, barns broken down, corn withered, no food. The beasts groan, why? No food, no water. No pasture, flocks of sheep desolate. And then the prophet himself calls on the Lord. Verse 19, chapter 1. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures. Well, if you get the land just tinder dry, shut those terrible fires in Canada, burns everything up so quickly you can't control it. fire devoured the pastures and the wilderness, that's all it was. Flame has burned all the trees of the field. Wow. The beast of the field cried out, the waters of the rivers of water dried up, the fire devoured the pastures of the wilderness, nothing left at all, absolute barrenness. Judgment from the Lord, it's the day of the Lord, it's back there in that time. So that's pretty grim, isn't it? So let's go into chapter 2 now of Joel. The fire has destroyed everything. Whatever was left after the locusts, fire finished off. So here we are, chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, Jerusalem, around the temple. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, it's nigh at hand. There's another reference to that. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 in your notes. Page 2, about a third of the way down. Chapter 2, verse 1, underlined. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. And I quote Numbers 10, verse 9, which is a wilderness experience for the Hebrews. Numbers 10, verse 9, I quote it. Sound an alarm with the trumpet, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. And they didn't call on the Lord. Blow the trumpet of alarm sounded out here, Joel's day. And they weren't saved. Later on, they were taken into exile. But the Lord destroyed the land. Devastation was here. Destruction was here. And you can see there's references there. And I'd like you to turn to those references in Isaiah. Now, Isaiah lived about certainly 60, 70 years after. Maybe a bit more after Joel. But Isaiah has a similar message. Now, you've got some references. We take them in order. Isaiah 8. Go back to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 8. That's the first one. Verse 22. Isaiah 8, verse 22. And here's the description that Isaiah was warning his people about 130 years later, or 100 years later, thereabouts, 80 to 100. Chapter 8, verse 22. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, they shall be driven to darkness. In the book of Revelation, one of the plagues was total darkness. I've mentioned this before. We don't know what total darkness is. But with the total darkness in the book of Revelation, men gnash their teeth in anguish and pain. Because of the totality of darkness, they cannot see. Agony. We don't know what that's like. Go on to chapter 24. That's the next one in order. Chapter 24 of Isaiah. This is the one chapter which is terrible judgment on the whole earth. Gentiles, you see. In chapter 24, I believe you can read the whole chapter sometime. But in chapter 24, look at the verses 17 to 21 for a description. Isaiah 24, from verse 17 to 21. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, if you're wondering where it is. Chapter 24, verse 17. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. That includes Gentiles. It shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. He that comes up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundation of the earth to shake, earthquake. In other words, no escape, that's what that means. You can't escape God's judgment. 19, the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, and the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall roll to and fro like a drunkard, that's the severity of the earthquake. The book of Revelation gives us a picture of the greatest earthquake that this earth has ever experienced. Now look at the description here. The earth shall roll to and fro like a drunkard, shall be removed like a cottage, the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, shall fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, that's all the political leaders of the land, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. In other words, this earth is going to be split open by a devastating earthquake. And this earth is enormous in size. that is a judgment of God. It's in the book of Revelation as well. So there you are. The trumpet, of course, announces the invasion of an enemy. It's called the army from the north. And there's this awful description. Well, that's in chapter 24. Go to chapter 34 now of Isaiah, if you will. Still there. Isaiah 34. Just one verse. Verse 8. I can get through it. Chapter 34 and verse 8. It is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Israel's in trouble under the judgment of God because it had such a revelation from the Lord and yet they rebelled. So the judgment is even more harsh. Chapter 34, verse 8. Finally, chapter 60 and verse 2. Chapter 60 and verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, intense darkness, blackness. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, Israel, and his glory shall be seen upon you, meaning Israel. So God is merciful to Israel. That's at the end of so many of the prophets, Amos, Hosea, Joel, and so on, and Jeremiah for that matter. So now we've got here, back in Joel, here we've got these descriptions here, the darkness as described in those chapters of Isaiah, intense darkness and blackness, you could almost feel it. Then in Amos 5, 18 to 20, we needn't turn to it, I've got the reference here, check it, is gloominess. Well, we know some days when it's a bit gloomy, when it's dark and it's raining and it feels gloomy. And it's depressing, isn't it, really, when you think about it? Well, this is very considerable. And you've got Zephaniah 1, 14 to 18, about clouds, which again can be depressing when it's dark and the clouds are overhead and they're lowering down. Then you've got that phrase, thick darkness. You've got this, we're looking, the reference is, of course, Joel chapter 2, verse 2. Day of darkness, gloominess, day of clouds, thick darkness, and so on. And you've got those references, Isaiah, Amos, and Zephaniah as well. It's a pretty terrible time, isn't it? When it speaks, in back to Joel now, in chapter 2, where you've got in the middle of verse 2, an unusual phrase, it says, all this darkness, gloominess, day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. Now normally, if you're up and among mountains and it's a lovely day, you've got the sun come up over the mountains, the glorious sunrise, everything is sort of golden. And yet here, there's something very different. You've got the morning, I mean, we've got here the morning. Look in the middle, where you've got thick darkness in the middle of page 3, as the dawn spreads around a mountain. Now that can come quite quickly. You've got darkness, and then when the sun comes up, it suddenly comes bright and into day. And you've got it as dawn is sudden, especially around a mountain, spreading its effect, so sudden will be the day of the Lord, and that's the intention here. As the dawn comes, often suddenly, especially the sun comes up over a mountain, and the dawn is with us just like that, so suddenly will also be the day of the Lord. Unexpected, you only expect the dawn, but the suddenness of it, that's the important thing here. So let's carry on now. This, in other words, as you've got here in the middle of page 3, all this future judgment is terrible, and the one in the future is worse than the one that's here. Right. Now, in chapter 2, you've got here verses 3 to 9. And here you've got this, we looked at it before, and we looked at Revelation 9, this hideous description of the demonic locust, not insect locust, we look at this again. It's so important. Joel is picturing a scene which has never, ever been in history, but it's future history. Now look in chapter 2 from verses 3 to 9. We've got a few minutes left. A fire devours before them. Behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and that's when sin came in. Behind them a desolate wilderness, yet nothing shall escape them. Now that was a normal insect locust, but also the demonic locust. Page 3 of your notes, and chapter 2, verse 4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. Remember we looked at Revelation 9, parallel. As a horseman, so shall they run fast. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire, devours the stubble, as strong people set in battle array. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. What do we read in Revelation 9? Somehow it means that they stung them and caused great pain to men, and they are so much in pain they longed to die and couldn't. Here it is. Linking Joel with the book of Revelation chapter 9. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Because they've got a king, Abaddon, Revelation 9. Orderly. Now they shall one thrust another. They shall work everyone in his path. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. In other words, you try and kill them. You can't kill demons. They shall be touched. You can't fight a demon with a sword in your hand. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the house. And they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. And then the earth shall quake before them. We've looked at that in Isaiah 24. The earth shall quake before them in verse 10. All right, let's leave it there because it goes far to verse 9. Look at the notes here. Description of the army invading the land. Descriptive in apocalyptic terms. Note the word as and like. As or like horses, but not horses. As men, but not men. Not human. Here is the preparation of social, political, and religious disaster about to fall on the nation of Israel and upon the earth when we get to the book of Revelation. It is parallel, you see, especially chapter 9. These terrible events, look in chapter 2, verse 11 now, verse 11 of Joel. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. God is still in control. Not only does the insect locust, chapter 1, but also the demonic locust. They've got a king, Abaddon, the devil, Satan. But God is over all. And when we come to chapter 12 of Revelation, when Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels, who won? God is still in control. And Satan and his angels are cast to the earth. Just like the demonic locusts. But not locusts, demons. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, verse 11, chapter 2. For his camp is very great, for he is strong and executes great, for he is strong, his word, sorry, strong executes his word. For the day of the Lord, here it says again, is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? It was awful in Joel's time. It's going to be much, much worse in Revelation.